Thank the Lord this morning for the power of His love. Very thankful that there is one that we can go to this morning whose love is unconditional. And this is Father's Day, and I think about how God Himself has exemplified to us what the love of a father really is. When sometimes we were unworthy of His love, He still loved us. He did not walk away from us in time of our trouble, in time of our problems, in time of our needs, but we know that there is a force of stability in the love of a father. And God has shown us what that is. And I know that in the world that we live in, more and more fathers are abdicating their responsibilities. And children are growing up not knowing what that love is supposed to be because they don't have that security. I took note this morning, some of the children and young people mentioned the knowing that dad would be there. Do you know that is brings a lot of instability in our world today, children growing up and not knowing what dad's going to do, not knowing if he's going to be there to take care of. And I'm so thankful this morning, most of all, for a father in God that I know He's going to be there. I know that when I get in trouble that He's there to love me. And I'm also thankful for you all this morning. I want to wish all the fathers here this morning a very happy Father's Day to the older fathers and to the younger fathers, the new fathers. That God would bless you, and especially to those of you that are starting out, you're going to find that being a father brings some challenges in life. And you're going to find things out about yourself, and sometimes we think we know and understand something, and through time we find out we really don't know as much as we thought. I remember asking someone, does it get easier? They kind of looked at me and shook their head no. Do you know the burden I have found that a father carries? You know, when they're little, you pray for the little ones and you want the best for them. But I find that when your children are gone from home and they're on their own, the burden doesn't lessen. If anything, it gets greater sometimes. And from the time you go to bed at night and go to sleep to the time you wake up, you're praying, Lord, bless my children. Help my children. I'm thankful I've had a father like that, one that I knew was there. And that's the kind of father I want to be. And I'm so thankful for the fathers today. I say God bless you all. Some of the ministers were on a little text. It's not a circuit. I don't even know what the right word is, but there's in send out text, and someone just sent one out and said, I know fathers sometimes are underappreciated, but keep on doing what you're doing. So I would just share that with you all as well. Keep on doing what you're doing. Thank you. I'd like to turn over this morning to the 6th chapter of Matthew, and when the Lord gives messages, sometimes the prayer, even after the Lord gives the message, is, Lord, how much do you want said, and what scriptures do you want? Because there's a lot in the Bible. And it's not a real good minister that tries to cover it all in one session. Because you all end up going away with nothing, and sometimes shorter is better. So, pray that the Lord would just have us bring out to get the point this morning, that we would have something to take home with us. But in the 6th chapter of Matthew, in the 9th verse, Jesus began to teach His disciples to pray. And He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I take note that He acknowledged God as the Father. And the burden the Lord put on my heart was on the subject of headship. When Jesus called God Father, He was acknowledging that you are the chief, that you are the leader, that we are in submission to you, and we openly and we freely acknowledge the headship of God in our life. And because God created us, He designed the plan of salvation. He has provided so much for us. He gives us what we need. He has given us an inheritance to look forward to. I'm looking forward to that inheritance. And I'm talking about my Heavenly Father now. And He loved us, and because of all those things, He is our Father. But do you know that we have to accept the headship of God in our life if we want the benefits of it? I can be there for my children, and I can love them and be willing to do anything in the world for them that would help them. But if they don't accept my help, they are limiting my fatherhood. They are limiting my ability to have headship in their life that could be a blessing to them. It's how it is with God this morning. God wants to be our Father this morning. He wants to be our Father. He yearns to be our Father. But I believe that in teaching His disciples to pray, Jesus was saying, acknowledge Him as your Father. Let Him be your head. Do you know if you don't want God to be your head this morning, we're going to suffer because of it? And sometimes people, we live in a generation that does not want someone to be the boss. Have you all found that to be so? I don't want someone to be the boss. My ideas and opinions are just as good as yours, and the way I think it ought to be done is just as good. But you know, that's not a real good way to keep a job. If you're going to work for another man, and I've tried to tell my children, when you're on the job and the boss says, do it this way, there's a place to ask. You know, would you like me to do it this way if it saved this? And they said, no, this is the way I want you to do it. You do what they say. They're your head. That's your boss. What, even if you think you know better, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do what your boss said. But do you know that we live in a generation that doesn't want to acknowledge headship? But as children of God this morning, we are in so much better of a place when we can freely acknowledge that God is my head. And even if I don't understand everything that the Bible says, my Father, our Father which art in heaven, in other words, Lord, I'm going to submit to you. Because if you have a head or a leader, it means if you're going to respect the headship, it means there's a place of submission, doesn't it? So if God is our Father, then we need to submit ourselves to what the Father says. And that's not something to be afraid of. You see, submission has almost become a bad word as well in our world, hasn't it? To submit. It's like, oh, who wants to submit? I have to submit. It is a privilege this morning to submit to the Father. We're better off because of it. So we don't need to be afraid of submission this morning. Another passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles 16 says, 29, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. In other words, respect the headship. Respect and give God glory and acknowledge that He is your head. Even Jesus Himself in His teaching said, the doctrine that I teach is not mine. He said, I speak of the Father. In other words, I'm not taking away from the respect and the authority that belongs to God the Father. How much more do we this morning should we acknowledge the headship of God in our life? Scripture over in Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Do what? Fear God. Does that mean be afraid of Him? What's it mean? Respect, honor, acknowledge His headship, fear God, and keep His commandments. We live in a generation that is losing or has lost to a large extent their fear of God. They have no respect for what God wants in life. It's why there's such a lack of immorality today, because there's no fear of God. But when you have a respect for God, there is an honor that even if I want to do something differently, I'm afraid to do it because this is what God says. There should be a healthy respect and reverence for God this morning. The world is losing their fear of headship and they seek to escape accountability. And as the world loses their respect for God, the world's going to get more and more trouble. Well, You know, God is a God of order this morning. I remember in Shawnee, there's a brother when we pastored there, we heard quite frequently, God is a God of order. And I haven't forgotten it. God is a God of order. Do you know when you don't have someone in a place of leadership, you're going to have chaos? If you have a company, if you have a business, and there's not a CEO, someone that the buck stops here, in other words, this is the one that's the leader, you can have gifted, talented, and intelligent individuals working for that company, but it's going to end up in chaos because everybody's going to be doing things their own way, and there's not going to be a central focus to the company. So that's why there has to be a leader. When you get on a job and nobody really knows who's in charge, you know that's difficult sometimes. It's difficult to get anything done. When I went out, just came to me, to Stephen and Chelsea's a couple weeks ago, Stephen was not there. And we had a number of the nieces and nephews with us. So we pulled up and I knew there was a couple trailers that need to be unloaded. And I said, Chelsea, if you don't mind, I said, I'm here to get this done. In other words, is it okay to let me assume some headship here? Steven's not here, and we try to get everybody lined out. Let's do this and this, and let's get this thing done. Do you know what would have happened if we all would have gone and just, well, what do we need to do, and stood around with our hands in our pockets? I think we'd still be unloading the trailers. But there has to be someone, there has to be a place in life, in a business, in a company, in a home, there has to be someone that is the recognized leader so that there can be focus, and it's a positive thing. It's not a negative thing for there to be headship. And so God is a God of order, and our world would be in utter chaos if there were no authority. The authority of the police, city authority, government authority, even if you don't like the authority that's in place, even if you don't like what the president stands for, if you do or you don't, is not my point. The point is, there's a very important function being filled. And if someone was not filling that place of leadership, there would be some dire consequences because of it. Well, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know, now we're talking about a God of order, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, that is not real politically expedient scripture. But do you know that when we follow the plan of God, we get the best results? When we will acknowledge that God is our head, and if we want to prosper, we need to submit to God the Father because He's my head. There is a security that comes from that. You know, there's a security when I don't know what to do and I really don't know what's best, and I'm to be able to just go to the God and say, okay, God, You're my head and You're the Father, and I'm just gonna rest that You're gonna take care of this. I don't know how. Do you know that takes some pressure off of me? Renee reminded me, I think it was yesterday, she thought I was caring a little bit too much. I think she thought I needed to just rest in the headship of God a little bit more, in some burdens I was carrying. Because there are some things I can't change, but I've got a head that I can trust His leadership. I can trust in what He does. The Scripture teaches us in multiple places that Christ is the head of the church. People say, well, who is the head of your church? Christ is the head of the church. He is the recognized leader. We don't teach here in our midst what a group of ministers have gotten together and voted on in some many years ago. Is that right? If we do, we are a sect and we are part of Babylon. All right? I don't want to ever get there. It's why if you hear Brother Michael's not voting when the ministers get together, here's the reason why. Because my vote doesn't change truth. Truth stands on its own merit. We live like we live. We do what we do. It doesn't mean there's not a time to discuss things and get the mind of God. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not for me or for anybody else to dictate doctrine. I want to say, thus saith the Word of God. So if there are things that I don't do this, and you say, Brother Michael, why don't you? Well, because this Scripture is here and this principle is here. This is the reason we don't. You see? Because we acknowledge Christ as the head of the church, not man. Well, in the New Testament, the word head means ruler or chief. Christ is the ruler. Christ is the chief. And the Scripture said that Christ, the head of every man, is Christ. Do you know that a real man, we talk about Father's Day, a real man is someone who will freely acknowledge that Christ is my head. We live in a world that is saying manhood is something else. Don't trust in anybody. You can do everything with your own strength and your own power, and they look to the physical and the mental to say that, you know, I'm a man because I can do it. Real men, you young fellas, listen now. Real men are people that will acknowledge Christ is my head. It takes more strength and more power to have humility and grace than it does not to, right? That's real manhood. That's real strength. Thayer's definition of the Greek here says that the head is metaphorically anything supreme, chief, or prominent. It's talking about leadership. Where is our leadership? Christ is our head. Christ is our leader. But the Scripture went on to say that the head of, let's read it again, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Do you know that from the beginning, God created man to rule on the earth? And He created woman to be a helpmeet, to be a companion to Him. And there's much that could be said on that issue, but I want us to remind us this morning as we look at this idea of headship. And this is Father's Day, and I don't know of a more appropriate time to acknowledge this, but the Scripture is very clear because God is a God of order. A world without God as the head there begins to be chaos. In a business without headship, there becomes chaos as well. It will not stand. A business will not stand. Do you know a family is the same way? A family that does not have a clear head is going to be in chaos, and it will eventually break. Because God ordained that the man, the husband of the home, fill a place of headship in the home. And while it's not expedient politically, do you know that the truth is here that when we do it the way the Bible teaches it, it's the best way? It will bring the greatest fulfillment to you wives when you will learn to acknowledge that your husband is your head. You will find, you children will find that life is so much more secure. It's secure when you come to that realization that my father is the head of this home, because there is security in that. And to the men this morning, to the fathers, that we would step up and fill that place of headship as the Lord has called us to do. So there's a place to fill being the head, and there's a place to respect the head that is in our lives. Well, Paul's idea in saying that the head of the woman is the man, that she is to be subordinate to him. That means submissive. It means obedient in all circumstances, and her demeanor. And I'm reading from an author here, a commentator on the passage. It said in her demeanor, in her dress, in her conversation, in public and in the family circle, that she should recognize she is subordinate to the headship in her home. Do you know what a testament it is to look at a woman, a wife, a mother, and see her in the way she dresses, in her attitudes, in the words she speaks, and all of her whole demeanor is reflective that I am honoring my husband as the head of my home. You know, that is what God has called for the family that is the most blessed and works as God says, this is where it's at. This is where it's at. Well, you all have heard this saying before. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Where'd that come from? What book was it? That's the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. And we're not going to get into discussion of what that all meant. But do you recognize that there is a, in our society, equality is a word that's much used, isn't it? Equality. Equality. Do you know that all things are not equal in life? There is an equality and there should be an equality of people from all backgrounds, all races, all parts of the world. There should be equality from the socioeconomic status that people have. No person is more important than anybody else. We are all equal in the sight of God. Is that right? But I want us to remember, God is a God of order. And it's not going to work to go on the job if you have a boss and say, well, we're all created equal. It's like, listen, you want a paycheck, you're going to do what I said. Oh, you mean we're not equal? No, we're not equal. I'm your boss. You understand, there's a place that, yes, as people, we are equal in the sight of God. But in position, folks, all is not equal. It's not all equal in government. It's not all equal in the body of Christ. It's not all equal in the home. Because the Lord is a God of order, and He wants it to work. He wants it to work properly. Well, it's kind of like teachers and their students. You know, students can interact with each other one way, but if they interact that same with the teacher, eventually the teacher can say, listen, I'm the teacher, you're the student. It's like, you mean we're not equal? No. I am the teacher, you're the student, submit. Do what I told you to do. Is not that what the teacher-student relationship? And a teacher's going to have a problem who tries to be the best friend of all the students. You're going to find there's a problem when a teacher's just one of the girls or one of the boys. There's going to come this thing that they're going to start treating you like one of the boys or girls. And all of a sudden, there's going to be this authority. Why aren't they doing what I told them? Well, you're just one of the guys or one of the girls. Well, you get the point? Okay. We'll move on then. Because there's a lot more that could be said. When the husband in the home is not recognized as the head of the home, we are moving outside of the plan of God. And God has placed the husband in a position of leadership. The Bible is not unambiguous in that point. And we're at a place in the message that we could either continue on for another hour and a half, or we're going to be very, very concise. So I will choose that. I'm going to be very concise here. The Scripture backs this up repeatedly, that the husband is the head of the home. Do you know, to be a head to the brethren today, to be a head is a great place of responsibility. It's not a place to say, like the teacher and student, it's not to say, well, I'm the boss, so I can go and I'm the head of the home. And do you know, the husband that's a Marine, I'm sorry, Stephen, a drill sergeant, when they come home, they're not a drill sergeant anymore. I'm the head of the home. Do this. Do this. It's like, no, this is your wife. These are your children. But there is still a place to provide leadership. There's still a place that the family recognizes that dad's the head of the home. And you know, if the children start kind of wondering who the head of the home is, it means either dad's not stepping up to the plate like he ought to, or mom needs to step back and give some more honor and deference to her husband. The family needs to recognize that the father is the head of the home. And it is a place, it means that as the head of the home, and this is where there's great responsibility, that you're going to provide for your family. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? A man that provides not for his own is worse than what? That's someone that doesn't even believe in God, just an idol, maybe an idol worshiper, but not the true God. That's pretty bad. And we have a lot of people in our world today that are right there. If you don't provide for your children, but do you know that's what it means to be the head? It doesn't mean I'm the boss. It means you have a responsibility to step up and you be sure that your children and wife are taken care of, or you're worse than an infidel. He went on then in the scripture and teaches us that part of headship would be setting the course. You know, as fathers this morning, we have a great responsibility, and men, to set the spiritual course for our family. That's what it means to be a head. Step up to the plate and provide spiritual direction. Let Christ be your head, and as you follow Christ, bring your family along with you. Don't just wait. There are too many men that defer to things spiritually to their wife. And that's not the way the Lord intended it. God wanted the man to step up and be an example of godliness and step up and move forward. It also means being the spiritual head, the financial head. And as Job, we find Job offering sacrifices for his children, don't we? He was being the head of his home. They were older children too, but he loved them. And he's like, unless they've sinned, and we find he was there praying for them and offering sacrifices. Well, I have a lot more to share, but I'm going to conclude here. But what it comes down to is this. Brethren, let's step up to the plate. As God has called us to be the head of the home, and if you question the validity of what I'm sharing with you, there's a lot of scriptures here I can share with you. But the scripture teaches us as heads of the home to love our wives as what? Yeah. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you know being a head means, I've been telling the young people, it means that if you're the husband and you got this little conflict in marriage, if you're the head of the home, do you know what? You be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Oh no, she needs to submit. Well, you're the head of the home, so you set the example. You be the one to step up to the plate and be the first one to humble yourself. And you know that has a melting effect with most wives. For a man to humble himself and say, I'm sorry. I am too. And all of a sudden things are better. Let's be the head of the home, brethren. Step up. Be the first one to humble ourselves. Be the first one. And to give of ourselves as the head, to give of ourselves as Christ loved the church. Wives, don't you want a husband like that? You say, oh, I don't want someone telling me what to do. But how would you like to have a head in your home? Someone that sets the course, that will provide and meet your needs and give of themselves. Oh man, I want someone like that. Doesn't that sound good, you young sisters? Isn't that the kind of man you want? Oh, I want a head. I want a head in my home. But that's not what the world's saying. But true headship, that's what it includes. Provision, sacrifice, giving of oneself. That's one side of it. But the other side of it is the scripture said over there in Ephesians for the wife to do what? What's the wife to do? She's to submit. I heard it faintly. Do you know that's a word that's getting too faint in too many homes in the world today? But the Lord, the scripture teaches a wife to submit to her husband, and it even goes a little bit further. It says to obey him when you feel like it. Wait, I'm misquoting now. It says obey him in all things. Do you know what that means? It means exactly what it says. I could give you Greek definitions, but the English means the same thing. It means obey. What it means is that a wife, if she wants that headship of her husband, that man that will provide and care for and love to give her security, we need to respect the headship then. And I want to encourage the wives and the mothers and the children this morning, respect the headship that God has placed in your home. Oh, to reverence and honor Him means that I'm going to defer to Him. And one of the ways a wife and a mother can do that is bring Him into the loop if your husband's out of the loop. Bring Him into the loop and seek His leadership and His guidance and acknowledge Him freely. It's like, well, we're just all equal. We are equal spiritually in the sight of God, but our functions and our roles in the home are not equal. God has placed a man to be the head. And you know, it's so hard, especially as a man, I'd like to just focus on what we're supposed to do. Okay? But part of the burden the Lord gave me that we're being pretty concise with this morning is to the sisters, you need to respect your headship. Respect the headship in your home through a spirit of submission. It's more than just what you do. It's the attitude in which you do it. Well, fine then, I'll do it because I'm here. Well, so you did what your husband wanted, but that's not real submission. Submission is a spirit. It's an attitude of, this is my head. And do you know that this will bring about the most blessed marriages when men will step up and fill their godly headship and when the sisters will respect that and reverence that, and honor that place that God has put them in. So, to the fathers this morning, and I'm going to conclude, and if the Lord sends us along to finish this later, just I hope y'all will just say amen. But, in closing this morning, to the brethren, let's step up and fill the place God wants us to. Thank you all, thank you fathers for being there, and what we heard this morning, for being there for your family, for your children, for your wives. And I would say to the children, it says, children, do what? Obey. That's acknowledging headship. That's what that is. And sisters, you want to fill that place of safety and security in your home. I want to encourage you to reverence your husband. Respect the headship of your husband. And be able to freely acknowledge, as Sarah called Abraham Lord, she set an example that I'm recognizing him as the leader of my home. And I'll tell you what, your husband wanted to just do that much more for you. So God bless you all. Thank you for your time this morning.